Alrighty, welcome back. You are listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR, and on the phone this morning we have got Angela Carr, who is from Geelong Housing Action. And yeah, Ange is a community service worker, a union delegate, and mother of three, and is going to talk to us about the housing crisis, which is pretty serious in Geelong, working class area, as it is in much of the rest of the country. Welcome, Ange.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for having me on, and good morning to the listeners.
Yeah, so good morning, Angela. And maybe to kind of start off, I guess, this kind of discussion, can you give us a bit of an overview of the housing crisis, both in terms of the demand for, you know, for housing amongst renters, but also the general kind of issue of homelessness?
Yeah, so that's a really big question. So I'll try and cover a couple of key points. And I suppose we've always had a layer of people that are more vulnerable to housing insecurity and homelessness due to economic and social reasons. So, of course, we know that First Nations people experience much higher rates of homelessness, and that's because of the impacts of colonisation and genocide and racism and discrimination. We know that women are less financially stable due to gender inequality, and of course family violence is a key reason for women and children to become homeless. Young people, people with mental health issues or disability, cold families, the LGBTI communities, they're people that traditionally struggle within a private housing market. But now we're actually seeing a broader layer of low to middle income families finding themselves experiencing homelessness. And my observation, I used to work in the housing and homelessness sector. You know, this really started to escalate a couple of years prior to COVID, but COVID then really accelerated, people's experience of homelessness, especially in the regions such as where I live in Geelong, because we had a lot of people that were working from home and tree changers moving into regional areas. So in the last 2 years, rents in Geelong have risen by 25%. You know, it's quite extraordinary. And I think the average across Australia is vacancy rates are around 1%. But in Geelong, the vacancy rates for private rentals are only 0.4%. So there's a housing shortage, but also an affordability crisis. Obviously, the general cost of living pressures and stagnant wages have also had a huge impact on people being able to maintain housing. But we also need to remember that the price of housing itself has become so inflated over the last sort of 15 to 20 years that there's not a lot of hope for people. And probably the last point I'll just touch on is income support payments. So they are a major barrier for people. And there's no affordable private rentals for people on income support. And we've seen the federal government, they're just showing how callous and cruel they are for not increasing income support payments above the poverty line. And the housing and homelessness services, they're really on their knees. So funding for homelessness services has gone backwards in real terms. But this is at a time when we've never seen more people presenting for housing support. So yeah, there are a few of the key points.
Yeah, and I guess going into the kind of next question, Angela, I mean, what do you kind of think, what is your sort of analysis on some of the kind of root causes of some of these issues in terms of kind of like the political decisions that our major parties that have been making while they've been in government?
Yeah, so the housing crisis is really a crisis of capitalism. So the constant drive for profit at all costs has taken away working class people's most basic of human rights, so to have a roof over their head. And we've seen, you know, the major parties embrace of neoliberalism since the 80s. It's led to this property boom. In Victoria, we have the lowest rates of public housing in the country. So public housing stock makes up just under 4% of all housing stock. And across the world, it's quite different. Like a lot of European countries, they have up to 17 to 20% of their housing is actually public housing stock. So we're also seeing massive issues with privatisation. So under the guise of increasing social housing, they're privatising housing. And we know that when services become privatised, this is going to be a disaster for communities' needs. So public housing offers low-cost and secure tenancies for vulnerable people. And if the privatisation over to the community housing providers continues, it's going to lead to larger presentations of people experiencing homelessness. And what we've seen, and I used to see this at work, that community housing providers, they do not house the most vulnerable people with complex issues. So they cherry pick their tenants, and they're quite quick to take people to VCAT and issue eviction notices on rental arrears and things like that. And they're also not regulated properly, so they make up their own rules and rental calculations. Some of the other broader things are policies such as capital gains tax and negative gearing. So they continue to assist the elite to grow their own individual wealth, but they push up the property prices. And this increases the cost of rent, so it makes private rental completely unaffordable for average working class people. We did see in the last census that there's 1 million vacant properties across Australia. So, you know, it blows the mind that greedy landlords are sitting on assets while people have nowhere to live. So property speculation, it's a real issue and it's quite disgusting. Some of the other schemes the government come up with, like the first home buyer schemes, economists have clearly stated that these types of schemes continue to push up the cost of housing as people with money use the additional money in the bidding wars. So, look, I'd probably just say in a rich country like Australia, it continues to be a political choice to keep people homeless and living in poverty.
And I guess what are some of your comments, I guess, on some of the other market-driven aspects of the housing market? Like, I guess what are your sort of comments on, you know, what has been, you know, the impact on the housing market with the introduction of, you know, Airbnb, which has obviously become a much bigger thing in recent years. And of course, most governments don't even really have policy in terms of regulating Airbnbs.
Well, across our region, what we have seen, and all other regional towns would know, that Airbnbs are actually an absolute disaster. So they're taking family homes out of the private rental market. And we know that most of these properties actually sit vacant for a good 9+ months of the year. So especially hard hit are the tourist regional areas. So down on the Surf Coast, like around Torquay, not far from Geelong, in the latest census, they showed that there were nearly 2,000 empty properties. And so it's very disgusting when we have so many families in our region sleeping in cars, on people's couches and in tents. So we know that market-driven schemes do not help people in need. They're all about making profit. So I've actually reached a point now that I believe that Airbnbs need to be completely banned. It's the ultimate capitalist idea. So the greedy landlords are hoarding properties. They're charging exuberant amounts of money, and the ultimate goal is making profit. But we need to, be moving away from that. People need to be able to have a roof over their heads.
And I guess going into, what do you think are some of the solutions that are needed to address the housing crisis?
Yeah, so look, there's lots of things that can be done if there's a political will to do them. The obvious thing is we need a large-scale public housing building program. So in Victoria, we probably need around 100,000 good-quality, eco-friendly houses to be built over the next few years. And, of course, this in turn creates jobs for people as well. Rents have skyrocketed to uncontrollable levels, so we need an immediate freeze on rent increases. And we need to strengthen tenants' and renters' conditions. And I would say the privatisation of converting public housing into social housing, so handing over public housing to the community housing providers, this needs to be ceased immediately, and community housing homes need to be handed back to the state to manage. Look, there's so many things that could be done. We could be developers need to be forced to allocate a percentage of their properties into public housing. And you could be, we could create state-owned bodies to provide low-interest loans to people. And one of the other things that I think is really important as an interim measure is just expanding emergency accommodation. At the moment, there is really people presenting as homeless. There's nowhere for them to go. So that needs, that program needs to be expanded. But when people have complex issues, you know, sustaining tenancy can be difficult. So we need to adopt a housing first model like they have in Finland. So not, there's a housing first community housing provider in Melbourne. That's not what I'm talking about. That's where people sometimes get confused. But in Finland, they just provide people that are presenting as homeless secure, stable, long-term accommodation, and they provide long-term wraparound support, so, you know, case management support or medical care, you know, drug and alcohol workers, doctors, mental health workers. You know, we need to move to that type of model in Australia.
Yeah, it's just on that question of emergency housing and public housing. I worked at a place that did some work on the quarantine project at Mikkelheim, which is sitting there unused. People are calling it a white elephant. I think there's an argument that says that it makes sense to actually have a quarantine facility, so when the next pandemic comes along, there's a actually ready-built facility that's good to go. But the speed with which that thing was built, it was about 6 months to get a 1,000-bed facility built. And if the political will was there, you could build emergency housing in Melbourne and in major regional centres like Geelong quite quickly. I think this idea that, I don't know, there seems to be this idea that it's too hard and we could never do it, but I think if the political will was there, you could actually build a lot of emergency housing and an initial batch of public housing quite quickly.
Yes, I completely agree. And I think that's why we know governments don't make major reforms without people really advocating and, you know, creating mass movements around campaigning for these issues. So I think that's why it's important. We are seeing housing justice activists rising up across the country. So I think it's an exciting time for those of us that are involved in these movements.
And this will be a final kind of question and a bit, and you can use it as opportunity to make some concluding comments. But I guess what can you tell us about the Geelong Housing kind of Housing Homelessness Action Network, and yeah, what are some of the upcoming activities that that you are planning?
Yeah, so at Geelong Housing Action Group, we have been involved in running some local actions, some kind of lobbying of politicians, and we've had a rally not so long ago in August. We've done a bit of advocacy with local councils, so we have a regular monthly meeting and, you know, we ask community members to identify possible actions and campaigns that we can get involved in. In Geelong at the moment, there are some current concerns about a local homelessness food service closing down. So these are the types of things that we look at being involved in. Coming up, though, there's quite a few housing actions coming up across Geelong and Melbourne, actually. So on Wednesday the 19th... in Geelong at 12:30, we're going to be at the front of the Office of Housing building, in Little Mallet Street. And we're going to hear from a few housing justice campaigners, and we're going to have an open mic for people. And we're also asking people, we're going to be chalking up some of our messages to government, but we're also asking people that may not be in Geelong and can't get to Geelong, they can also do that out the front of their local real estate agent or community housing provider, and upload their photos and tag us on social media. And I do know that I might do a plug for a couple of the Melbourne groups too while I'm here. So Homes Not Prisons are having a rally at Parliament next Friday at 4 p.m. That's the 21st. And then Rahu, the Renters and Housing Tenants Union, they're having a rally on the 22nd, the Saturday at 1 p.m. at Parliament. And then the Public Housing Activists in Melbourne, on the 28th, they're going to be at the Minister for Housing's office at Moonee Ponds at 12:30. So it's exciting to see that there's a lot of campaigns popping up all over the place. And it's not just in Victoria, it's across Australia. So I'd really urge anyone that has an interest in this area to try and get involved.